The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Wait a minute. Do you still think politics is boring? Well, not when you can say fun words like caucus. Yes, it's fun words like caucus and more. With the intellectual, intersexual, and intersectional, Nicole Sandler on NicoleSandler.com.
Well, we're back again, and joining us now on his way to surrender at Georgia's luxurious Fulton County prison, GOP frontrunner Donald Jessica Trump.
Here we
or
are.
Do you prefer RICO racketeering? Let's cut the shit. You've just been indicted a fourth time, bringing the total number of felony charges against you to 91. Just 9 more and you get a free mugshot.
It's called election interference because I'm leading everybody by a lot in the polls for every Republican, frankly, and every Democrat, including Biden, by a lot.
You know, I gotta hand it to you, Mr. Former Fake, one term twice impeached, currently four-time criminally indicted, not my president girl. When people call me names or, you know, threaten to lock me up for 70 years for plotting to overthrow democracy, I'm in bed for a good week. But you just keep throwing parties for yourself.
Last night I had a rally with tens of thousands of people.
Good for you. Forget those trolls. You've got a country to destroy. You know, your delusional narcissism is inspiring.
Don't do it.
In fact, it reminds me of a song I once knew.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't tell him he's a dirty lying bragger. Life's Big Macs and the sun's a ball of MAGA. Don't anybody dare a rain on his parade.
I don't have a lot of time.
Don't call him when new charges have arisen. Don't tell him he's about to rot in prison. Don't even just a hair a rain on his parade. His whole campaign went right off the rails.
Perfect phone call.
Still each arraignment just makes his day, girl. So don't you try to spoil it. Hey, girl, those boxes in your toilet. But whether he defies a fair election or tries to organize an insurrection, this simply awful, slimy asshole of a guy. He won't be bested when he's arrested. He just bamboozles and bluffs. Ooh, ain't he nutty? He can run, but he can't win a race in handcuffs. No time for DOJ to dilly-dally. Tell Jack Smith, go away, he's got a rally. So take a hike and don't arraign on his parade. He's gonna run and run fast. Run from his criminal past. Watch how he tops every poll. Once he gets out on parole, he's headed right for the slam. One more indictment and damn. Hey, Mrs. Willis, here he is.
I'm afraid.
He's so indicted.
I didn't do it.
And he just can't fight it.
People are very angry about it.
He's about to lose in court and he doesn't like it.
For a perfect phone call.
He's so indicted. You've got him burned. He just can't fight it. Crimes keep turning up. And yet they seem to want him. They want him. He'll clutch his ass off. He's so indicted. He'll break more laws. So turn the gas off. Set him free, Fuzz. Quit stomping on his garden because he's counting on a pardon. Melania, go ring Janina Tucker. They're gonna need to spring this motherfucker. No, Penny, oh no, hunty.
Indictment.
Don't go a rain on his.
Perfect phone call.
Yeah.
I'm afraid.
He's so indicted.
Randy Rainbow. Oh, yes. Now, that would have gotten things started yesterday. So Randy Rainbow published that yesterday. And I would have opened the show with it yesterday if there had been a show yesterday. Hi. Well, welcome to Wednesday. I'm Nicole Sandler. Thanks for joining us. Sorry about yesterday. Here's what happened. So you know, people who've been here for a while know that this show is usually heard live. You know, we stream live each weekday afternoon, 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific. We're on, YouTube and streaming video to YouTube, to Twitter, to, Twitch and Facebook. Of course, we stream to my own TuneIn channel and my own audio stream and a number of other places, audio only, including our, our flagship, the Progressive Voices channel. But we've been off for the last few months because the piece of equipment that I use to broadcast live on Progressive Voices was broken. It was in the shop. I finally got it back on Friday. And so didn't get to set it up on Monday for whatever reason. But yesterday, starting 9 o'clock in the morning, it's like, all right, let's get this thing set up so we can go back live on Progressive Voices. And from 9 o'clock yesterday morning until 3:30 yesterday afternoon, we were dealing with IP addresses and WANs and LANs and nothing working. It just wouldn't connect. And my typical MO is I get frustrated. The frustration turns to anger, and the anger turns into a depressive episode. And that's what happened to me yesterday. It was just not a good day. It was a shit show. But we got it up and running. We are live again on the Progressive Voices Radio Network. So hi, PV listeners. It's so good to be back again. Sorry for the long absence, but we're here. And just in time. So the first debate of the 2024 presidential primary election season is tonight. And, there are bingo cards all over the place, but one of them is more disturbing than the others. I actually find it quite humorous, being that I'm here in Florida and, I hate to call him governor because he's not really doing the job. Right now, he's running around the country pretending he's running for president. Although Ron DeSantis will not be president. But you don't need me to tell you that. You know that already because you're finally seeing him. You're finally hearing him and hearing everything I've been telling you for the last 4-6 years. Now you know what he is and, more importantly, what he isn't. But last night in Washington, D.C., not in Washington, D.C., in Milwaukee, where the debate is being held, there was a dinner at some upscale, big fancy steakhouse with the Trump team from Jason Miller, who's the only name I honestly know because I don't pay that much attention to them. I just have too much going on. But Jason Miller on down, and the people in that were a part of the party were Kristen Welker, who is the incoming host of Meet the Press for NBC News, Dana Bash, who shares This Week, I think it's called This Week, the CNN Sunday show, duties with Jake Tapper, and other political alleged journalists who, why are they at this thing? And what are the party favors that the Trump people gave out to the journalists in attendance were these Ron DeSanctimonious debate night bingo cards. Well, all well and good. And I understand the so-called journalists paid for their own meals. Well, good for them. But why were they at dinner with the Trump shill team? Maybe it's normal. Maybe that's what they do. And maybe I'm being too picky. Maybe I shouldn't be so critical. I think I should ask an actual real journalist. And believe it or not, there are still some of them around. One of them is a friend of the show, Brian Karam. And lucky us, he joins us today. Hey, Brian. Oh, I'm not hearing you. Why am I not hearing you? See,
I had myself muted. I'm here.
I'm so glad it was you and not me, because it's always me. It's me and the gremlins that live in my studio, but I can't get through a show without a technical screw up. So thank you for it being you.
Well, that one's on me. I did it myself.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. So am I being too critical? Should Kristen Welker and Dana Bash and the rest of these political reporters be enjoying a big fancy steak dinner the night before the debate with the Trump team?
If they paid their way to get there, I have no complaints at all. That's because the bottom line is, if that's what it takes to sit down and talk to a source, that's what it sits down to take, you know, to take, if that's what it takes to talk to the source, fine. I'm paying my way there. I'm paying my way out. And I'll accept the fact that this is the way I have to talk to you. Get it?
Oh, so it's so that, because a lot of the journalists on that list are noted for their kind of access journalism. You know, they're like they.
Well, I know a lot of people on that list, and they're all hard workers. Give them, you know, these people are doing their job, and that's, you know, now the problem comes if you accept it as a gift, or if at any point in time you take advantage of the situation in a way that's against your ethics and standards as a reporter. But there's no indication of that in this case. I get it. If, you know, I personally wouldn't want to sit down to dinner with Donnie, but this is just me, my personal bias. So mm-hmm. I give everybody else, you want to sit down with him, you're paying for your dinner.
But
you're
it wasn't even him.
Job,
he
fine.
Wasn't even there. It's with Jason Miller and his other.
Hacks. See, there you go. Well, so let's, you know, if that's what it takes, fine. I but you're paying your way. And I know Jason, I've sat down to, I paid my way. I sat down to lunch with him one day and I paid my way, but I talked to him. That is within, well within ethical standards, and actually is an ethically bound approach to the job. And that's where you rightly noted that the difference is between paying and not paying. Yeah.
Right.
If you pay yourself, what, you know, that's fine. But if you start accepting gifts,
if you're
that's
like
someone
like a Clarence Thomas who gets on these private jets with these billionaires and goes to their private islands.
Well, think of how cheap I'm getting off just having to pay for my own lunch.
Right.
So I'm lucky. That's it. They had to pay billions to get the SOB. I got him over lunch.
There you go.
I'm fine with it.
So since I brought up Clarence Thomas and the ethics problems at the Supreme Court, what do we do about something like this? Because they've all learned from Donald Trump, who learned from Roy Cohn, never admit you're wrong.
Well, yeah. Well, sometimes you're going to be proven wrong when you can't admit that you're wrong. We've all suffered that fate. That's God bless you, Nicole. That'd be a reckoning, won't it?
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. And I hope the day of reckoning comes soon. You know, I'm looking at these bingo cards, and my favorite one, frankly, came from, and of course I didn't pull it up here, NPR, being NPR, they basically left it up to you. And so they gave us a blank bingo card that we can fill in ourselves. Except it doesn't translate well. The lines are not showing up correctly here. But are you going to watch the debate tonight?
Yes, I will unfortunately be watching the debate tonight as part of my dedication to my job. I'm forcing myself to watch this spectacle tonight with a clothespin over my nose, a shot of bourbon nearby, and some popcorn just to keep myself interested. And if I can find a good rock and roll album, I'll put that on.
To have in the background when you just need, yeah.
Or to blast when they do something really stupid. So I'll be listening to more rock and roll than the debates. But yeah, I've got to listen to watch them.
And I'll be watching it too, just because we have to. This is what we do. We have to know what happens. Do any of these men, woman, there's Nikki Haley is on the stage too. Do any of them stand any chance of ever getting the nomination? Or, I mean, I guess they're all hoping that Donald Trump will wind up behind bars and it will have to be one of them.
Well, I'll tell you what Trump believes. He sent out a press release today saying that he's already won this debate because he's not showing up and everybody will only be talking about him tonight. So he wins. And he said what these people really are doing tonight is an undercard event that shouldn't even be called a debate, but rather an audition to be part of President Trump's team in his second term. From the words of the lips of Donald Trump, or at least from his press release. Yeah. So that's what he thinks of what's going on tonight. He thinks there's not a hope in hell that anybody could ever break through. But there's 16 months till this is all over. And we have an octogenarian president, a nearly octogenarian leader on the other ticket, either of which could be, captured by the actuarial tables sooner rather than later. We have a country in disarray, a war over. So God only knows what's going to happen between now and then. And so does any of them stand a chance? Yeah. Much more than a hope in hell if things remain as they are. No. But it'll be interesting to watch anyway, I suppose. The thing that Democrats really have to worry about is if Donald Trump gets out of the race. And if Trump is out of the race, and that throws open a wide gate of possibilities, which includes the one person that the Democrats should actually be concerned about. And there's only one that I can see, and that's Liz Cheney.
Huh.
And because she was on the January 6th commission. She'd get a lot of crossover votes. She'd get a lot of women, although she would also, people say she can't get elected right now. I'm sorry. You're talking about a party that somehow deifies Donald Trump.
That's right.
It wouldn't be impossible for them to switch their deity to someone else if so urged.
Right.
So
good question. But you made a good point. I think you made this point on Shitter. That's the new name of Twitter, because if it's X I T T E R, how do you pronounce X I T T E R?
I X'd one out last night. What
Shitter.
Can I tell you?
There you go. So, so on the Shitter, I think you said that Liz Cheney, you point out, she voted with Donald Trump like 90 some odd percent of the time, right? I don't have it in front of me, but she was right there with him policy wise, which says she's batshit fucking crazy too. So the thing we like about Liz Cheney was that she had the decency, the balls to come out and say, he's not wearing any clothes. She's calling the emperor's new clothes. And this is what this is to me. It came in my mind a few days ago and I can't get it out of my mind. It's the emperor's new clothes. They're not willing to say what's apparent to the rest of us. She was. And for that, she got run out of the party. She got run out of leadership first, then out of the party, and then out of office. But on policy, she's right there with him. So why wouldn't they go for her?
Yeah, exactly. Especially if Donald Trump's in prison. They're going to go, hey, he's just like Donald, but he's not. She's not. And then if she got elected, got on the ticket and were elected, just imagine what having a Republican Party being the first party to get a woman into the Oval Office would do to the Democrats.
Right.
And the Republicans are that type of go for the throat, I'll cut your heart out, bastard, that you'll ever play against. So it's not without possibility that would be on the horizon. And it's just something that voters should be wary of, because I don't think anyone's taking the possibility seriously right now. And the more you watch Donald Trump dissolve into a puddle of his own sweat and tears and good Lord, 91 felony charges against him. And every day just seems to be a total meltdown. At some point in time, the money has already begun to walk away from Donald. It will soon run. He's grifting all the time to raise money. He's in trouble, folks. And so his cult will go somewhere.
Right.
And where best to go, even if they want to blame Liz Cheney for it happened, they can quickly turn her into a hero and go, yes, she's the one who alerted us to his poison. Aha, she's the anointed one.
Right.
And then off to the races.
Yes, yeah, and I did find your tweet. You wrote a question for my column. And by the way, in case you weren't aware, Brian Karam has a column at salon.com. That's why the salon thing is up on the Chiron. It says, if you claim you're not a part of the cult, then would you support Liz Cheney? She voted with Trump nearly every time on his policy agenda. She broke ranks with him over January 6th. If you get the same policy without the sedition, what's the difference? You also get it without the insanity. See, here's the thing. There's the difference between would support and have a modicum of respect for. I do have a little bit of respect for Liz Cheney for standing up against her party.
I have a healthy amount of respect for the woman for standing up to Donald Trump and doing what is minimally expected of all of us.
Yep.
She did that. Not now. Some would call that some a backhand compliment or an insult. But I'm being honest. She did, but you have to understand when I say she did the minimum expected of all of us, she did it. Not one man did it. No one else did it. She did it.
Right.
And by the way, it was her and it was Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats who stepped back away from it and allowed her to take the reins, trusting her to have the best interests of the United States at heart. That was bipartisanship at its highest.
That's right.
And it should be praised for what that was. That's the way the government is supposed to work. She picked it up. She ran with it. She did a damn good job. I'm just telling you, if you're going to vote for her, I'm just saying.
But Trump. She is Trump without the insanity, but with those beliefs. She is, you know, yes, you can respect her and still think everything she stands for is heinous. Just look who her father is. Come on. And she's every bit as evil as...
I don't go with that as her father was, though. And I got to tell you, it's not the sins of the father. She's her own person. I find her much less hard to swallow than her old man. Just out of covering the both of them, you know, peripherally, granted, both of them, never, you know, intense. So I can't say as well as others.
She's not a war
much
criminal.
Closer. Right. I'm just saying that as far as my interactions go, I would much rather have an interaction with her than her father. just putting it out there.
Yeah. And you got it. He's still walking around somehow. He's got one of those bionic hearts.
I don't know either.
All right. So there's that. But now for the people that are on the stage tonight, same thing I say about Liz Cheney. To a lesser degree, I'm saying about Chris Christie. I'm glad he's on that stage. I'm glad he's saying the things he's saying. I think he's horrific when it comes to policy. I do not want him to get the nomination or be president, but I'm really glad he's there because he's the only one willing to say these things on that stage. The rest of them, we saw DeSantis's, leaked strategy memo for the debate, and he's going to go after Chris Christie and defend Donald Trump? Really?
Well, we'll see, won't we? We've heard a lot of speculation, you know, between now and then. Let's see what happens because, you know, you and I both know we have seen before where people say they're going to say one thing and they get up on that stage and they say something else. So I have given up speculating on what a candidate's going to say. I know their stump speech.
Yep.
I know how they generally think from what they tell me, but they can have a bad hamburger like Donnie and end up on the stage and start uttering shit no one's ever heard before. So we just got to sit and wait.
And with DeSantis, if you saw the debate he did with, if you can call it that, with Charlie Crist, where he was like, he was the most awkward. That was the first taste most of the rest of the country got of DeSantis. If they watched that debate, he was a deer in headlights. There's no personality there. There's no nothing.
Well, my saying for that wonderful young man is he has all the appeal of day old roadkill.
You know, my favorite, I met the woman from Iowa on Friday. She came on the show. I feel terrible. I'm blanking on her name. Heather Ryan. There you go. Heather Ryan, who you know, she, it should be on the chart. Pudding fingers. I always mess up on that part. The Florida pudding fingers. Pudding fingers. So she has a hit record. Pudding fingers. Pudding fingers. You know, it's amazing what catches the American people's
pudding fingers. Really? I'm not touching.
Oh, you didn't get pudding fingers. Pudding fingers. Go back to Florida. Pudding fingers.
Already. I'm not going there.
But you know what? On this bingo card that the Trump people gave to all those journalists at dinner, right over the free space in the middle, pudding mention. Just saying.
There you go.
I'm not sure that pudding will come up in the debate tonight, but
I'm just surprised that, you know, I should quit being surprised, honestly, Nicole, but you know, I see that bingo card and I go, you know, how crass has American politics gone? I know that we had more innocent times, but please just a little more, I don't know, grown up would be nice.
But there's nothing grown up.
Is it too much to ask for?
Yes.
Am I reaching too hard?
Look who we're talking to. You saw the recent polling, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it was something along the lines of registered Republicans, 70-some-odd% of them, you know, believe Donald Trump. Only 30% of that, like that, more of them believe Donald Trump than believe their family members and friends, their local leaders, their clergy, those churchgoers. They believe Donald Trump twice as much as they believe their clergy person. They believe this pathological liar.
Number.
Is it?
That's great news, isn't it? Oh my God! Seriously, that's. Where what's the source for those?
I saw it on MSNBC this morning. Let me see if I can find the poll. Who Republicans trust? Let's see. Okay, here it is. The percentages, this from the Washington Post, percentages who say they trust each of the following to tell them what's true breaks down like this. Donald Trump, 71%. Friends and family, 63%. Conservative media figures, 56%. Religious leaders, 42%. I was a little off on my numbers, but not too far off.
Well, I guess that's better than mainstream media then. I haven't heard us mentioned.
They're not even mentioned at all because you're not, but mainstream media is not believed. It's astounding to me. I told this story already, so listeners, bear with me. We're getting ready to move and we're selling shit in the house. I got trying to purge as much stuff as we can. So
shit and purge using the same sentence to
I'm
describe
good, right?
real estate. I'm impressed.
So I had this big, beautiful mirror. This woman responds to me on Facebook, says, oh, I would love that. Can I give you $75 for it? And I said, well, I'll take $100. Anyway, she comes over to get it. Beautiful young black woman driving a Lexus. She comes in. She's like, oh, so where are you going? I said, Arizona. She goes, oh, well, if not Florida, Arizona. I said, well, in my standard line, at least they didn't elect the fascists. And she looked at me. She's like, excuse me? She goes, I moved here from North Carolina for DeSantis. I'm like, you moved here for DeSantis? And I'm thinking, she's a black woman. Obviously, she's intelligent. Do you like what he's doing in schools? And she said, actually, yeah. She said, you can't believe what you're reading. That's not real. I'm like, oh, it absolutely is real. And then I thought, Nicole, just shut up, take her money, get her out of the house and move on. And I did. But then I had to look her up. I had to see who this woman was because it was a disconnect. She was Miss North Carolina in the Miss USA pageant system. And she runs some Queens organization or did. So she's in Trump's pageant world. I guess it takes a certain kind of person. I don't know. But there are people who you're walking down the street who you think, oh, that's a normal person. And they're thinking that Ron DeSantis is okay in putting PragerU videos in the elementary schools that show Christopher Columbus touting the advantages of slavery to the former slaves. It's opposite world and I can't figure it out, but there are people walking around the street who believe this shit.
I don't know what people believe or don't believe because I don't know that I can fully relate to another human being, to be quite honest, but I can understand why people, I see actions and I realize actions follow actions. And I believe the action that led to the cult as it exists, where there were people that were felt isolated for years by politicians. And Donald Trump came forward. And once again, people said, you know, the system's rigged against us. And he said, yeah, you know, you're right. And I know because I help, you know, I participate in it. And it like blew people's minds away. And they go, that's my guy. He's going to tell me. And so they have latched on to that. And in the process of doing so, they've completely forgotten any facts, and they're not going to listen to them, because everything they need to hear, they hear from what they've already decided exists. And I can't speak to anything. I don't, to your story, I don't know. I just know that they came in as fans. Their politicians treat them as fans. They love to be, you know, they're fanboys, and it's like WWE. It's the political version of, you know, the World Wrestling.
Yeah.
It's what it is. It's all, that's all it
and,
is.
And look, Trump learned equally. My husband said this the other day. I'll give him credit, from Roy Cohn and, oh God, what's his name? The head of the WWE. Now I'm drawing a blank on his name. But the wrestling guy, the head, you know, the guy.
Oh, that guy.
That guy. So
Vince?
Was it Vince McMahon? Vince McMahon.
No, that's the guy who used to sit next to Johnny Carson. I'm kidding. Yes, you're right. That's...
You know, it's old age. It's screwing with my brain synapses and all that too. All right, let's change subject, because there's other news today other than the big debate tonight. So turn on the TV and I hear plane crash in Russia. Or was the plane shot down? So it turns out that on this business jet was Wagner Group founder Prigozhin. Prigozhin, Vladimir Putin's number one foe, the guy who led the coup that was on its way to Moscow, and now he's dead. Gee, how not unusual that is in Russia.
I was shocked. I couldn't believe that happened.
Were you?
Are you kidding me? No, Nicole, I thought he'd live to be a ripe old age. Yeah. He'd have grandchildren, great-grandchildren. He'd visit them all over the world, arm in arm with Vlad, the Impaler Putin. Right. Come on. Who didn't see this one coming? The only thing is who won at Vegas on the bet? How many days did the guy last, and who won? That's the only thing I need to know at this point, because it wasn't me.
Right.
But it's not a surprise, and it's politics as usual in Russia. The Wagner Group was and is remains pretty powerful, and as a private military group, some of them may be more, I guess, severely beholden to the dead guy than to Putin.
Yeah.
So I don't know what comes next. I don't know the politics of the area that well. I know it just is further evidence of a large problem across the globe, and that's stability. The world is pretty unstable and seems to grow so more so every day.
Right. But there was also the problem that, you know, the guy who, we don't have to say allegedly, he's not here in this country. We know the guy who shot down the plane to kill Prigozhin is Vladimir Putin, who is Donald Trump's, like, you know, guy. It's his guy. He in Helsinki.
I think you got it the other way around. I think Donald's his bitch. But okay, I'll go with that.
Well, Donald is his bitch, but Donald worships Putin.
Well,
right?
I don't think there's no connection between Donald Trump and this decision. This is
no
other than the fact that I think that some of the fallout that we're seeing in Russia is because Donald Trump didn't get reelected, and I think it's evident that Putin and Trump felt more hand in hand in the way things would be conducted in Ukraine than Biden does. And so I don't think we would be at this. And I don't think Prigozhin would be dead. I don't think any of this would be going on. By now, I think Ukraine would be, you know, another state in the growing vast Soviet empire.
Yes.
You know, reconstituted empire. So. Yeah, and that's the only connection I find between the two. But this guy is, what can I tell you? Putin is no friend of, he's jailed, killed, or imprisoned and or excommunicated, extricated, totally destroyed opposition ever since he came on the international scene. And he continues to do so. It's not surprising. And I don't think it'll end until he's no longer there.
Right. No, I agree. But the only point I was making, not saying there was any connection between Trump and the downed plane today.
I'm sorry.
Right. But except that Donald Trump is probably going, yeah, that's what you do to your political enemies. And Donald Trump considers anybody who doesn't support him a political enemy.
I know that personally.
Yes, you do. In fact, just to remind the viewers and the listeners Brian Karam is, you're the one who came on, who sat in the briefing room, the James Brady briefing room in the White House, and asked Donald Trump this very important and quite prescient question.
Win, lose, or draw in this election, will you commit here today for a peaceful transferal of power after the election? And there has been rioting in Louisville. There's been rioting in many cities across this country, red and your so-called red and blue states. Will you commit to making sure that there is a peaceful transferal of power after the election?
Well, we're going to have to see what happens. You know that I've been complaining very strongly about the ballots, and the ballots are a disaster.
I understand that, but people are rioting. Do you commit to making sure that there's a peaceful transferal of power?
We want to get rid of the ballots, and you'll have a very we'll have a very peaceful. There won't be a transfer, frankly. There'll be a continuation. The ballots are out of control. You know it. And you know who knows it better than anybody else? The Democrats know it better than anybody else. Go ahead.
The ballots are out of control. What did he mean by that?
Well, if you can figure that one out, Nicole, please let me know. I haven't been able to figure that out since I think he was hinting around that he thought that he was giving you a lead as to where he was going to go with his defense after he lost.
Yep.
He was going to call ballot. You know, this to me shows prior planning for the big con, you know. You have to be, you know, it depends on what this is, a predicate from which he bases all of his false moves afterward. And there's no other way to look at it. It was predicate for all that followed.
Yeah, absolutely. That was, a great question. And one that I also saw you comment recently about, you bitched about the president, the current president, the actual president, Joe Biden's public availabilities today. It was in Hawaii, where, and I got to ask you about this too, because you are part of the mainstream media.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right? but what the fuck? Why? There was reporting on the ground in Hawaii, and people were pretty happy with Joe Biden's visit there. Apparently, he stood for hours and talked to hundreds of people individually. Listen to them. Heard their stories, empathized with them, hugged them, showed real emotion. I mean, did what we want a president to do. He didn't toss paper towels at them or anything like that and brag about the great job he's doing. He went out on the ground and was a human being and met with people. The media didn't report on that. All they did was report about how people are upset that the relief efforts, the help isn't coming fast enough. I see it. Is the press being too hard on Biden because they were tough on Trump?
I don't think we were hard enough on either one of them, but that's just me. I mean, we let Trump get away with too much shit.
You think?
for 4 years, there were a few of us that would raise our voices in inquisitive nature and curiosity, a forefront, you know, before him, but there was a lot of BS that went on, but there's a lot of BS that goes on with this one. And the BS that we have is mostly because it's a younger crew and not, there are some experience. There's experience in the room, but there's also, more importantly, less access to this administration than any administration I've ever covered. And it's locked down tight. And because it's locked down tight, this administration, and what they don't seem to grasp is that it doesn't matter if, you know, you communicate with us or not, the maw still has to be fed. There's a daily demand for the news. So if you don't get your word out sufficiently, someone else is going to fill the void. And who is the best at filling that void? Who creates void because he has so much between his ears? Who is the very essence of void? Donald Trump.
Right.
So he'll fill up that room with all that. And then you'll come around and get upset with us for not covering what you don't provide. It's disingenuous to me. If this administration wants better coverage, then this administration needs to interact with the press more often. And that's all there is to be said about that, because there is simply no way you can bitch at us if you've got access, if we've got access to you and we screw it up. Fair. I'll take that. I'll take that as a valid criticism. But do not sit there and provide less access than anyone I've ever covered, and then bitch about the fact that you didn't get what you wanted. That to me is the sign of someone who doesn't understand how this works.
Thank you for saying that. You see, these are the things that people don't hear. We hear the bitching that of the coverage, but not why, you know, what the beef is. And so that is a big deal. Now, I understand that Obama's press office wasn't as accommodating as we would have hoped either. So it's not like
that's not new. This is look, somewhere along the line, after Ronald Reagan, when Ronald Reagan decided to screw over the press and do nothing and did as few, you know, appearances as anyone, then a lot of other presidents since then, especially the older ones, have decided to do this because maybe they don't have the energy. Maybe they don't, you know, it was because, you know, Ronald Reagan wanted to project his image of vitality, even though he wasn't that vital. So he had Ron S. That was Nixon. But he had his people who came in and took care of him. And they knew a bit about the media, and the White House previously had not been as tailored as Reagan's was. So what they did was, did I just walk out into a field?
You did. It was magic.
So they all of them have learned since then how to cut down access to the president, but they missed the point. There's no one from our side of the business telling them, look, here's why you're screwing yourself. This is how you're screwing yourself. Don't bitch at us because you're screwing it up.
Brian Karam, I don't know that you've met my husband before, David Sloan. He has a microphone here, so he just comes in and picks it up every now and then.
My mom used to love your song.
Your song?
What's L. David Sloan, Leave Me Alone, Save a Girl. You never heard that song?
Oh, he knows it. I never heard it.
Yeah,
I
guess my mom used to lip sync that when I was a kid.
Brian and I are actually connected on LinkedIn.
Oh, you're connected on LinkedIn. There you go.
So the ballots that the lard father was whining about were the mail-in ballots.
Ah.
And you left out the other professor for the lard father that I mentioned the other day as well. Mark, what's his name? The guy from The Apprentice.
Oh, Mark, you're right.
Taught him how to manipulate the
what
media.
What is his name? Mark.
Andrews or something?
No. It's going to come to me. This is my old age kicking in. When I'm not thinking about the guy, the reality team, Mark Burnett.
And Reagan's press secretary was originally James Brady until he got shot.
Oh, Larry Speaks is the guy that I was talking about. That's why they named it the Brady briefing room.
That's right.
He succeeded. You got there before I got there. He succeeded James Brady. But it was the mail-in ballots.
Larry Speaks was the first one I ever met. Oh, the first press secretary I ever met.
It was the mail-in ballots.
Deputy.
It was the mail-in ballots that the lard father was whining about because
they're out of control. They're out of control.
You know, the Democrats were copying ballots and just giving them out like candy.
Oh, okay.
And that was the predicate by which he started all his nonsense.
Yeah.
A made up story there.
He did that all along. Look, I was a kid in New York. Out of college, I moved back to New York.
In Louisville.
In New York when Donald Trump was running around Studio 54 and acting like he was king of New York and he was an asshole then. What's really disturbing, I think the thing that's most bothersome to me, Brian, is that the whole apprentice thing, his role was a role. This was a persona, yes, based on Donald Trump, but created by Mark Burnett and foisted on the American people. And so many people bought into that bullshit that 71% of them believe him over everyone else when all the man does is spew lies. That's the really depressing thing to me, is that there are seemingly intelligent people walking around, people you wouldn't expect, and you find out that they're Trump supporters and they still believe that the election was stolen from him. They believe that all of these indictments are, it's all a witch hunt because Donald Trump says it's a witch hunt. If they could be that easily conned, I don't know.
Liz Cheney ought to be able to get him in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I'm saying, see, you're making my point there.
I know.
That's a hopefully, if you're going to fall for Donald Trump's bad bullshit, Liz Cheney has a better brand over here. And so I can see the GOP going right for her. And that would be because I firmly believe that Donald Trump will not be on the ballot next November.
Really?
I firmly believe that. And I have a growing belief that he's going to be in prison. So, or facing imminent prison time.
Do you think so? So let me ask you this. So put on your psychic hat, because I know you don't normally predict the future, but
I'm not the fabulous Karnak. No, I am not.
Okay, but pretend. Karnak. So he's got four indictments against him. There are 91 felony charges against
him. Four different jurisdictions. 91 felony charges. And you have to be, I don't think Neo in the Matrix could dodge that many bullets coming at you as quickly as these are. So,
right.
You know, he's not in the Matrix. This is reality. And I don't think he's going to be able to dodge all those bullets. And I think the first one that I think comes to trial is January 6th.
Uh-huh.
I think the second one that comes to trial is Georgia.
Oh, that. And that's.
Yeah. And then the third one would come to trial is the one that won't matter. And the fourth one will never come to trial. The Mar-a-Lago case is just bound with a lot of very highly classified, you know, documents.
Yeah, that's so going to be really hard. But now,
if they have to force that one, if it gets down to that, then Donald Trump may have a chance of skating. But I don't think he's going to miss. I don't know what happens in Manhattan either. I guess that's a stopgap. If nobody, it almost looks like this was written by a Hollywood screenwriter. I mean, it's like,
and it would have been rejected by every studio because it's too outlandish.
Yeah. Well, now the prosecution is a good Perry Mason episode, I don't know. So pick the prosecutors, whatever. LA Law. This is, they're coming at him. And they've got a streamlined case that'll go to court first that has to do with January 6th. The all-encompassing one in Georgia, just bam, bam, getting those two together is just, those have taken over center stage as far as prosecution. The one that's in Mar-a-Lago over the documents is speculative and a problem because of, not only because of the judge, but because of the nature of the case.
Well, the judge is a problem. But didn't they just have the head IT guy just flipped? He said, you know what? I'm not going to have the attorney.
I think that's in the January 6th.
No, that's the Mar-a-Lago. He was the IT guy at Mar-a-Lago, Jaseel or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
who was told, the boss wants you to delete the video. And he said, I can't do that. And he was being represented by the same lawyer that Trump is paying for all the other minions. And then he got a new lawyer and he recanted the false statements. And he said, and now he testified that, yes, indeed, we don't know exactly what he said, but he recanted his false statements. And he had originally said, no, nobody asked me to delete those videos. Well, now he's saying, right.
Now he's saying he has implicated Trump and others in obstruction of justice just after switching from an attorney paid for.
That's right.
By a Trump political action committee to a lawyer from the federal defender's office in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. So that tells you these. And here's the other thing. What this also is indicative of is that Donald Trump's running out of money, folks.
Oh, God.
So, you know, he's having a fundraiser for Giuliani. He's not helping
Giuliani. That's the other thing.
That's my whole point. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Giuliani can't get a dime out of him. The others, you know, Jenna Ellis is gone.
Yep.
This is going to be every man, woman, and child for themselves. Run and flee the sinking Titanic.
That's right.
Run your own, kid. And that's.
So the question is, when does he go down? And, you know, the other part of it is the scary part. These seemingly normal people walking around who are Trump crazies. And then the not so normal ones, the ones who have the flags on their trucks. Believe me, down here in Florida, you see them all over the place. They've got their cars decked out with Trump bumper stickers, pickup trucks hanging off the sides. Trump flags. Who does that? And these people really scare me. And
actors. I'm beginning to think a lot of these people, honest to God, it's like I see the same people at 30 locations. And I'm going, what are they, paid actors? I don't get it. Some of these groups, you know, the Buzzcocks for Trump, you know, end up being some paid group that comes running up. Quack, 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 and they run off into the crowd. And I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It seems to me like Donald Trump is almost irrelevant now to the Donald Trump movement. They gotten to the point where they got the point from Donnie is that it's all about them. And secretly, these people have always wanted it to be about them too.
Right.
So they're coming out of the woodwork, standing up, going, you know, there's the circumcision man that's, you know, who screams for Trump, who wants slave girls for Donnie. There's the people who think Donnie's the resurrection of Jesus. All of these people are coming out of the woodwork because we're putting them on TV.
Right, right. Well, you know, there is that. But then there's also that faction of the, and I can't call them news. Fox is not news.
I don't think they're news done well. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Well, it's the We Make Shit Up network. But so they actually had somebody on their air, a Fox News host apparently said that Hillary, hurricane turned tropical storm Hillary, was only here because Joe Biden let it in.
I got similar stuff from I interviewed somebody who said we're getting bad weather because of Joe Biden. And by the way, the science shows that climate change is a hoax. And I'm going, wow. You talk about that's some mental gymnastics I have not seen before. So that was the way it was stated. I get that, too. And it's kind of silly to me. But what are you going to say? I mean, there's some. Remember what George Carlin said. Think of how dumb and stupid the average person is and realize that half of them are dumber than that.
You're right. That's what average that's mean. Yeah. Oh, God.
I mean, I can't write a better line. That's exactly how I feel.
Right.
Thank you, George. You put it right out there.
Yep. Here's a quote from somebody on Fox. I don't know who it was. Kennedy. I guess it was Kennedy. Maybe. They let it right into the country, talking about the tropical storm named Hillary, because it's Joe Biden's America.
Well, you know, we tried to stop them at the border wall, but they wouldn't pay the quarter fine. And, you know, there were about 10 of us, and we said, God bless, we're going to have to go out and get a load of dimes. Let's go, fellas. How do you react to stupid? It's sad or it's comedy, and I choose comedy because I'd rather laugh than cry.
Exactly.
But all I'm saying is there's better ways to write this shit, and they don't got it.
Yes, David says it was to distract from Hunter's laptop.
I don't want to hear anything about him and some girl. No,
Nor do I.
Laptop. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you said there.
Gotcha.
Come on, man.
Yeah. So, you know, it's back to tonight. So tomorrow. Okay. This is astounding. So tomorrow, Trump is going to turn himself in to the Fulton County Jail to get fingerprinted and mugshotted and booked. But he said he wants to do it during prime TV time.
Of course he does. Come on. That's a given. I'm surprised he doesn't want Klieg lights out in front.
Well, he does. You know, just didn't read that part of the memo.
That's, he wants a ramp built, a Big Lee ramp, the best ramp. I'll walk down the ramp. It'll be lit. It'll be beautiful. An American flag behind me. Yeah, come on. That's of course he wants to do it.
See, but here's how he fucked up, because he should have done that tonight at the same time the debate was on. So they'd have to have the split screen. The debate...
All attention on him.
I guess he doesn't want the split screen. But yeah. So he's going on Tucker Carlson's shitter podcast on Twitter.
Who?
Shitter. Yeah,
no,
that guy.
No, who?
The former.
Who?
Yeah, that guy. The former Fox guy. And but it was taped 4 days ago. So, you know, he can't even talk about the brilliant move by his pal Putin shooting down the plane with his foe on it.
It's pal Putin, the rootin', the shootin', tootin'. Golly!
Well, you know, and if this was 15 years ago, that would be George W. Bush.
You know, I used to think George Bush was the dumbest man I'd ever met in my life. And then I met Donnie. Say what you will about George W. and
Boss
Pete too. Yeah. And, you know, W, he's just a shrub, as Molly Evans once said of him.
She did.
Look, whatever you want to say about him, he was also a very amiable. You talk to anybody who knows him, one of the friendliest people you ever meet in your life.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just down home. Look, he grew up in the Bush family. He wasn't the favorite son.
No, he wasn't.
You know, and then he kind of got a little luck going his way. And now he's fine. But
yeah, the thing is, Jeb was supposed to be the one who was going to be president, not George. George was the dumb fuck in the back of the room. But yeah,
and he screwed it up for the rest of the family, I think. But nonetheless, I do believe that I still like him as a person. I find nothing empathetic, sympathetic, or any way attractive in Donald Trump. I find him to be one of the most loathsome human beings I've ever been around. For a variety of reasons. Mostly it's because of his lack of empathy with the rest of the world and his narcissistic view that what he thinks about and what he needs, what his wants are more important than anyone else on the planet, bar none. And if he had to burn it down to rule over the ashes, as the philosopher once said, Donald Trump would do it without hesitation, without a doubt. And for that and for those reasons alone, I find him to be a hard man to be in any way friendly with.
So I'm right there with you.
I just can't do it. So, you know, I'll cover him the way I'll cover him. I'll let people know exactly what I think. I'll label it as an opinion. And my opinion is he should never step foot in the White House again, nor should he have the first time he did.
Right.
But that aside, we have a choice now. And the choice is don't let the bastard back. It's not good for the U.S.,
please.
And I don't care what your politics are.
Right, exactly. This should be beyond political lines. This anybody with a half a brain, that's the problem. Too many people don't have half a brain, I guess. Brian Karam, find him writing at salon.com. Listen to his podcast at justaskthequestion.com. What else? Go out and see your band. Where are you playing? Yeah.
Well, the book. Don't forget the book.
Oh, the book.
Free the press.
Free the press.
Wherever fine books are sold.
Absolutely.
Now it's third printing.
Is it?
Rarely by all.
Nice. Yeah, good. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's always fun.
It is always fun. Hey, I have a big announcement to make that I forgot to say earlier. Marcy Wheeler, who does a great job at emptywheel.net and is always a huge draw when she comes on, is now going to come on weekly because of all this Trump action. So to keep up with it, Marcy's going to start doing a weekly spot. She'll be here Friday, and then we'll figure out when she'll come on weekly. But Brian Karam, always a microphone here for you. Anytime, any day, we love having you. And the lots of applause from the chat room as well.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me. It was always fun. It always is fun.
And for me, too. Thank you so much. Okay, last question. Any big who's going to come out the big winner tonight, and who's going to be the biggest loser?
Well, I think Donnie thinks he's going to be the big winner. I think the American people are going to be the big winner because we're going to finally get to see some of these people and see what it is exactly they're all about. So the big loser, well, the American people, because we're going to finally figure out what these people are
all about. I hear you. Oh, it's sad but true. Okay, Brian Karam, thank you so much. We will talk again soon.
Anytime.
Really appreciate it. Bye. All right. And you guys, again, sorry for the technical problems at the beginning. What else is new? Welcome to my life. And tomorrow, tomorrow's Thursday, we'll have a recap of the debate. I understand it. If you don't want to watch it, I'll watch it so you don't have to. I'll pull highlights or low lights, as the case may be. And Friday, Marcy Wheeler will be here. Then she's got family vacation stuff, and of course we're moving, but she will be coming on to do a weekly segment once a week. And forward, onward, whatever. Bingo! I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.